This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile, and with me today is Dr. Deborah Annapol. Even the same woman from one day to another is going to be different. And so a lot of men and some women feel much more secure when they have a list of things that if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to get the result that I want. We keep ourselves from feeling deeply by making our breath more shallow. And this has the effect, perhaps, of making the emotional or physical pain less, but it also has the effect of making our pleasure less. The biggest piece is really to get in the habit of inviting in whatever's there and communicating about it in the moment. She's an author of The Seven Natural Laws of Love. She's a clinical psychologist who coaches in person and by phone on relationships and sexuality. And she is a beautiful being who has workshops in the Big Island of Hawaii for women, for couples, and for singles. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Francesca.
Deborah, I was taking a peek on your website, which is www.7lawsoflove.com. And I saw a quote that you wrote, which I thought was so beautiful. It says, as we search for love in our lives, most of us often feel as though we're on a journey without a compass, or even worse, a faulty map. We're programmed from early childhood experiences with scores of assumptions about love. We're taught male and female roles and ways of seeing ourselves that may lead to separation, fear, and mistrust. These many fallacies, misconceptions, lead us to associate love with disappointment and pain. That is such a powerful quote. And it leads us to today's topic, which is about healing, about how we use these beautiful natural laws and tantric principles to heal in love. Could you speak a little bit about some of these misconceptions and some of the, you know, the woundings that we carry into our relationships?
Well, you could say that there is an epidemic of sexual wounding in our culture. And while the most dramatic has to do with sexual molestation in childhood or rape in adulthood, and that affects, maybe a third of women and 20% of men. So that's big right there, but even the majority of people who have not experienced this kind of extreme violation are wounded through medical interventions. Circumcision in men can create a lot of genital armoring, and we're also wounded through the cultural attitudes toward sexuality. Through being shamed for even wanting to be sexual, for touching ourselves as children, for perhaps masturbating within a marriage or other relationship. We're wounded by the what I call the war between the sexes, the misunderstanding and lack of empathy that men and women often have for each other.
Let me just ask you a question about this. This, you know, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I think, you know, it's in some ways it's a shock to me to hear about it, and I'm imagining it's a shock for some of our listeners to really recognize that it's such, like you said, it's an epidemic. It's such a huge issue of these either kind of the shaming that we got from our parents or the culture, or literally sometimes the physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. And you're saying something about empathy. What, as a way to that we don't often have it, and a way to potentially bring some healing, what happens with empathy, and what is empathy, and how can it help us?
Well, basically, you could say that empathy is the capacity to feel what another is feeling. And spiritual teachers throughout the ages have told us that we really are all one being. We really are interconnected energetically on many levels that we may not be aware of. And so empathy is one of these pathways to feel what the other is feeling. In other words, to be willing to acknowledge that connection, that we have that capacity, that we are connected so deeply that if we allow ourselves to, it's not that we need to learn how or cultivate the skill. It's more that we spend a lot of energy trying not to feel what the other is feeling. And once that is felt, then instantly there's greater understanding. It's like, oh, that's why he or she did this or that. It wasn't, as I thought, to do with me. It was to do with their own wounding.
So an example could be, let's do an example from the kind of from the male perspective or the female perspective. Let's start from the male perspective. So here is, you know, the guy who is coming forward to, you know, really out of love and attraction to want to have sex with his beloved. And she's like, no, you know, don't touch me, or you're not doing it right, or, you know, I'm not in the mood. How can empathy work for him in this moment? What can he do with those, or with one of the natural laws to bring some healing into that moment?
Well, so many of the laws would come into effect here, but I think that the main thing for that man to realize is not to take it personally, that it's his beloved's lack of interest doesn't mean that, at least doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't love him or doesn't desire him, but more likely she's got a lot going on inside that she's afraid to vulnerably share with him. And, you know, the law of truth tells us that the more you are willing to speak what you're feeling and to self-disclose, the more love will grow. And yet, many women have experienced men, I would say, being insensitive to their sexual needs, either perhaps as children, inappropriately being sexual with them, or perhaps as adults, men who basically wanted to only be concerned with their own pleasure and not with the woman's pleasure. And so consequently, sex maybe was not a pleasurable experience for her. And there could be many other things going on a relationship level.
So for our really great guys who are listening to this, the thing to start with is to just breathe in that sense of compassion that their beloved is coming with some really tender places. It's not about them. It's really something that she's carrying that is blocking her ability to be intimate in many cases with anybody. And he can become a sexual healer. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more after a break in our word from our sponsors, as well as talking to women about what they can do to bring more healing into a moment, more healing into their sexuality, when we come back with Dr. Deborah Epps.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. We're back with Dr. Deborah Annapol, clinical psychologist, author of The Seven Natural Laws of Love. And we're talking about being the sexual healer in relationships and how do we really contribute to that from a male perspective or a female perspective. In a moment, we're going to give men some more tips on how to be the sexual healer, the mage of love they've always wanted to be. But we want to get back right now for women who are listening. And for women, let's have a scenario. Let me think about it. How about, it's very common for women when they're with their beloved, a couple things could happen. Either they're saying, stop that, do it like this, that's not working. And maybe their beloved could get very, their mate could get very angry and say, oh, you're always telling me what to do, or I never can please you. Or their guy is saying, are you in the mood? And she's not in the mood. At that moment, she's not feeling connected or aroused. What are some ways, and she can tell that he's very sad, very despondent, very angry even, when she says she's not in the mood right now or that she wants something to be different. How can she bring some sexual healing, some healing into the relationship?
Well, these two different scenarios, I think you're right, are very common. And one of the difficulties, again, that men tend to have through their conditioning is this idea that they need to know everything, and if they don't, they're not good enough or there's something wrong with them. And so if women want to ask for something, it's important to, first of all, get permission ahead of time, perhaps in a conversation.
What does that mean, get permission ahead of time? Could you give me an example of that?
Yeah, let's say, they're not in a lovemaking situation at the moment. They're sitting around and maybe you're planning to make love later on. And she could say, I've really been looking forward to our sexual connection, and there are some things. I wonder if it would be okay with you if, as we begin, or as we're in the middle of it, if I became aware of some things that would make it even more pleasurable, would you be open to hearing them? Now, if he says no, then maybe she needs to get another partner, but if he says yes, he's given permission in advance. He's been given a heads up that she may make some requests. And then when it comes time to make some requests, it can be done in a way that is either playful or that makes it really clear that she appreciates what he's already doing, and this would make it even better for her.
Ooh, what does that sound like?
Well, perhaps it would be, I love the way your touch feels, and would it be okay with you if I moved your hand over here? Or, I love the way your touch feels on my leg. Would you be willing to touch my breast? Or, you're going a little fast for me. Could we slow down? And I know you're eager to go deeper as I am, and I think I can get there faster if we go slower.
I love that coming from a more positive perspective and supporting the person. I think we all want to know that we're loved and wanted. I think we all want that. And if we say to our lovers, I love you, and I love to be connected with you, and could we try it like this, or can... One of my favorite sayings is, would you be willing to experiment with me to help me discover my own pleasure? And, that it sounds like a very similar thing, that sense of working together to create something, and there's not the same pressure. And if for any of our men listening, we really I'm sure Deborah and I want to invite you to let go that you need to know in advance the manual that you never got on how to please a woman. And each woman is her own divine instrument, her own violin, her own cello, and each one will be unique, and each moment is unique. So
that's so true. And even the same woman from one day to another is going to be different. And so a lot of men and some women feel much more secure when they have a list of things that if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to get the result that I want. But the reality is that each moment is different, and one day X, Y, and Z may have been perfect, but today it's not. And so there's really an opportunity for men to let go of having to know and be willing to intuitively either tune in the moment or get direction in the moment, which may be completely different from yesterday's direction.
So tell me a little bit more. I know there can be a hesitancy for some of us to get directions, but what becomes possible? What kind of opens up when we ask our beloved, do you like it like this, or would you like it? I find that something, if actually doing it, trying it, and then asking them, would you like it a little slower or faster? What happens then?
Well, for one thing, what happens is that the woman begins to trust that the man really cares about what she's feeling and that the man really cares about her experience and her pleasure. And this is one of the deepest wounds for many women, definitely women who have an abuse background, but even women who don't, because the patriarchal culture has placed so much more emphasis on men's sexual satisfaction than women's sexual satisfaction. For women to be eager and equally desirous of sex as men are, women need to be able to trust that it's not just for him, it's for me.
And there's a very subtle thing in there, too, that men don't always realize is, some of our men are thinking, well, it's all for her. I'm always doing her or pleasing her, or trying to get her off. It's really for her. And they don't realize that. Very subtle. Sometimes it can still be for our own ego, where I'm trying to please someone or get them off or get them to have an orgasm because that's going to have me feel good about myself. And that, our lover still feels that, that kind of more self-oriented reason versus that, I'm really here to just be here for you, whether that means not touching you, whether that means being still in intercourse, not moving, whether that means, this kind of, a light touch or a heavy touch. And I think that's what you're talking about, is really, just totally focusing on the other person in that moment without attachment or ego. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, because women are very sensitive beings, and I know some men are too, but I can tell the difference. If someone is touching me for the purpose of causing an orgasm, then I'm feeling that as a manipulation, and I don't respond.
Now, this is some tricky stuff, and I want to get back to it more because I think we're getting really to some of the heart of how we bring sexual healing to another person, who, male or female, who has that lack of trust that another person really sees them, cares about them, and that their own desires truly matter. So I want to come back with more of this after a break in our word from our sponsors. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. And today I'm honored to have with us Dr. Deborah Annapool, who is a coach in person and on phone with relationships and sexuality, and who provides beautiful workshops for singles, couples, and women only in Hawaii. And we're talking about sexual healing. And we were just talking about some of the releasing the ego and the attachment. And I'm guessing that some of our men and some of our women are confused, because after the 60s, you know, after that sexual revolution, there was this sense of, well, we want to have sex, and, you know, women are supposed to have lots of orgasms, so, you know, men are supposed to give them to her. And now it can almost seem like we're saying, now don't give her orgasms, or, you know, for women we're saying, you know, that it's, you know, they don't have to, they don't have to have orgasms. But that's not what we're saying, right? We're still celebrating joy, pleasure, and orgasm. We're saying something a little bit different. What is it that we're saying about this place of healing?
Well, as you said, it really is very subtle, and it especially applies to partners acting as healers for each other. And I would say that's the biggest difference between what we could say is sexual healing and what is ordinary sex. And that has to do with the willingness to not have an agenda about what's supposed to happen, to be willing to hold space, to be willing to just invite whatever wants to come into the space to come in. So if an orgasm wants to come in, that's absolutely great. No problem with that. But I've worked with many, many women who have sexual abuse backgrounds who avoid having sex because they're afraid that in that deep, intimate sexual connection, they're going to be flashing back into their past experiences of abuse, or they may have grief come up. They may have pain, anger, tears, and they feel that that's not okay to bring their authentic self and experience into the sexual connection with their lover. And so as a result, they try to avoid sex, or they try to be there just having happy sex and cut off the part of them that is having these emotions. And since this is what they probably did originally in the experience that wounded them, it's making the wound deeper. So I realized that, you know, it's difficult to show up for a sexual experience, actually any experience, without an agenda, without a picture of what it's supposed to be like. And yet, it's only through releasing that attachment, you can have a fantasy, you can have a suggestion or an idea of what you would like, but if that's not how things are going, the law of truth says you need to be authentic. You need to move with what's happening. And that is a very healing experience for both parties that brings them closer and perhaps opens the door up for a truly mind-blowing experience.
You know, as I'm listening to this, I'm trying to think of what's an example in kind of day-to-day life for people, because there's some sports and there's some, you know, work environments where they say, keep your eye on the prize, you know, go for the gold, you know, keep that what you're going for, and that's going to bring it in. But this is a case where I'm thinking it's much more like the kind of sports, maybe tennis, maybe even football, where you really need to be right there in the moment. You need to be in that zone where you're responding moment to moment to the curve of the ball, or where's the flow of the field happening. Is everybody starting to move in one direction? Is there an opening over here? And I think some of our people who are in sports or in certain kinds of, some people who dance, that there's a sense of being right there in the moment and knowing just right in the moment, not ahead of the moment and not behind the moment, what the next move is. And that's the kind of zone that we're talking about here, right?
Exactly, exactly. I think surfing is probably the quintessential catch the wave and ride it sport. But as you're saying, the zen of tennis and golf and archery and all of these experiences that are actually all, what they all have in common is that they're a way to connect with the larger self, to get out of the personal ego that always can find fault, no matter what's going on. It's never satisfied. And it's really incapable of deep communion with another because of these fears. So
that's that inner critic, that thing we call performance anxiety, where it's just kind of running off in the mind going, I'm not okay, they're not okay. I'm not okay, they're not okay. And that's what you're talking about, right, when you're saying kind of let that go.
Exactly.
Notice
exactly.
It and let it go.
Leave that one at the bedroom door. You can pick it up later.
And for those people who are listening who maybe are aware that they're sometimes we know intuitively that someone that in our lives has had some suffering in their background. Sometimes we know specifically. We've heard about their childhood or we've heard about their teenage years, and we know the kind of suffering that they carry. What is could be like a first step now that they're listening to this show, male or female, that they might want to, if you wouldn't mind, let's start first. If you're the one, so if our person listening, they're the one that has this kind of background, they know that they've had this kind of wounding in their past, and now they're thinking, gee, I wonder if there's a way to work with my partner to help me. What's a tip that you can give people who are carrying some of this in their heart, body, mind, and spirit?
Well, the first step is to, again, talk to your partner. Explain to them, if you haven't already, what you have experienced and how you realize that it's affecting you now, and ask if they would be available to help you heal this. And that's the first step.
A courageous one, the greatest courage there is, to be vulnerable. The first step.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And then?
And after that, the biggest piece is really to get in the habit of inviting in whatever's there and communicating about it in the moment. And even if it doesn't look the way you think that your sexual experience is supposed to look, this can be very healing. Now, there's many systems that work in very specific ways to heal sexual wounds, or not even just exclusively sexual wounds, but wounding to our connection with our own inner male and inner female. Because as long as that inner relationship is distressed, the outer one is going to be distressed. And there's so many messages, verbal and nonverbal, that we get from our parents and other adults as we're growing up that we carry with us into our present-day sexual relationships, and we may not even be aware of this. So essentially, what we want to do is reprogram both body and mind with positive, healing, connecting thoughts, and allow those separating ones to fall away. So if your partner doesn't really have an idea about how to do this, one thing you can do is to bring in a coach to work with both of you. And this is something that I just love doing. I've done it over the phone as well as in person, is essentially supporting partners to be healers for each other.
That sounds beautiful. And before our show completes, I just want to have a moment to give a tip to people who might be listening who know that their partner is someone who carries some of this and they haven't known what to do in the past. Now, we know that they could get a coach, and work with someone over the phone or in person to really support them being healers. They could, they can definitely let go of that attachment to a particular win, but be very present in the moment. And what's something else, like one key tip that you would invite them to start this process with their beloved?
Well, one of the simplest and easiest ways to begin is to work with breath. We keep ourselves from feeling deeply by making our breath more shallow. And this has the effect, perhaps, of making the emotional or physical pain less, but it also has the effect of making our pleasure less. So one thing partners can do is to take turns sitting with each other, have usually one person lying down, the other one sitting, and have one hand on the center of the chest, the heart center, and one hand over the pubic bone. And to just have the loving touch of a partner helping to reconnect the heart and the genitals as we breathe deeply and be willing to feel what's there. So it sounds very simple, and it is, and it's tremendously powerful.
And for those of us who are listening right now, I invite us to, if you're private, you can even do that yourself, is to put one hand over the center of your chest and one hand over your own pubic bone area, and just imagine that there's a connection there, and breathe and let yourself relax the belly and feel a little bit of that. And start practicing, or you can imagine in your own mind, for when you bring this to your sweetheart and become that mage of love, that priestess of love, that sexual healer of love. And Dr. Deborah Annapol, thank you so much for bringing us these precious gems of inspiration. Deborah's wonderful work and her summary of the seven natural laws of love are on www.7lawsoflove.com. And thank you, Deborah, for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And you can find out more about all of this and get transcripts from this show, find out about other shows, download this at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com with two L's in the middle.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.